Our Father and God, we are so blessed. We're so grateful just to be known by you, much less to know you personally as our Lord and our Savior, the one who created everything that exists, loves us so much that he died in our place. How could we not be forever grateful? You paid a debt for our sins, a debt that we could not pay, so that we could receive a gift that cannot be earned. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, that's why we're here, to show our gratitude, to show our love, to rejoice for what you've given us, the gift of life. So use this time to encourage our hearts, to lift us up, that we might be an encouragement to one another and to glorify your name. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare our hearts and minds for participation in the communion service this morning, we'd like to sing number 248, Blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
he lost it, gained it back, and how he put on the full armor of God, and so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And the devil's schemes against him a lot in his younger years. He's born March 11th, 1972. He came to his church for the longest time. Like I said, he graduated from Scottsdale High School. And when he went to college, that's when he lost his faith more and more. And he just seemed to drift away. And like I said, it took him so many years to realize that he needs to come back to church again. And the devil kept on saying, no, you don't need to go to church. God don't love you. He said, nobody will love you but me. And he believed it so many years. So he just kept on doing what he's doing in his life. Just going out, doing what he wanted to do, partying, go out with his friends and stuff. He finally got sick of it. And something in the back of his head smacked him in the back and said, hey, you need to go to church. And after the losing of his mother about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, he decided he wanted to go back to church. I mean, he tried all these other churches out, everything else. He just didn't know where to go. He was lost. And finally, the preacher came to him and said, hey, you're one of the animal boys. Yeah, I know. And for 2-3 years, I hadn't seen the preacher. I finally came back to Lexington Christian Church. And like I said, and I seen this man who was my father, was so tore up and enraged by a lot of stuff for his health, because where my mom passed away. Sorry. And I just realized that I don't want to be that way. I want something different in my life. I just want to go ahead and serve God where I can do it and how he wants me to do it.
Amen.
And like I said, I lost the armor of God. I'm trying to get it back on again. I'm trying to get my faith back in. And it's hard because the devil wants to keep you down.
Yep.
So if you have anything that needs to get on your chest, go to God in prayer. He
Amen.
Can do a lot of things. Because I have one of my daughters who's got scoliosis, and I prayed for about 2 years. And finally, they come to me and said, she don't need surgery. She don't need rods in her back or nothing. So,
Amen.
And prayers does work. So
Amen.
Keep on praying. I don't care. He won't give you an answer right then and there. It might be a year. It might be two. It might be 3, 4, 5, whatever. But he will answer your prayers when it's time for him to do it.
Amen.
So just please keep on praying. And especially this world right now is so hateful and so ugly. And we just need God back in our lives again.
Amen.
So just keep on, like I said, let's keep on the pour on the armor of God, and let's just put it on. Just don't lose it.
Amen.
Because if we do, the devil's going to scheme against us so bad that we won't come back to faith.
Yep.
Lord, thank you for everything you have given us. Lord, you have given us so much in life and love, and there's just so much we need to be thankful for, but we're not. We don't tell you thankful. We're thankful for you enough. Lord, there's so many people who are hurting right now. People are injured. People just might lose their faith in you. Let them come back to you, because they need you more than ever, because this world is a likely place, and we need to heal this nation. In your name, pray. In Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you, Bill. Good job.
When Jesus and disciples were gathered in the upper room to eat the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, passed it among them, saying, this is my body, broken for you. Eat ye of it. And likewise the cup. He took it, giving thanks, passed it among them, saying, this is my blood of the new covenant. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you. Continue our prayers and praises. Let's turn to number 485. God will take care of you.
Amen.
You. special music this morning be brought to us by God's name.
Do a song called Be Not Afraid. You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed.
Amen.
If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you.
Amen.
Through it all. And I will give you rest. Blessed are your poor, for the kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are you that weep and mourn, for one day you shall laugh. And if wicked men insult and hate you, all because of me. Blessed, blessed are you.
Amen.
Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Himself to pray. Later that night, he said he was there alone, and the boat was already several distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against him. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It was a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said unto them, take courage, and do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come out to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wave, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, you have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding countries. People brought out their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just be touched on the edge of the cloak. And who all touched the cloak were healed.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Brother Phil, thank you for sharing your testimony this morning. I appreciated that very much. And I also want to say thanks to all the birthday cards, birthday wishes. Those that surprised me Friday. I went out to eat. Mark and Herman and Kathy were waiting at a restaurant in Henryville where Judy and Rusty, I thought, were taking me to Clarksville. And so it was nice. It worked out very well. And got a card from the church yesterday, right on time. So thank you for that, Mary. You did good. You got it right here on the right day. And a lot of different things. Jim and Mary Rominger brought me a... I'm sure that Jim helped with this, but Mary made a bouquet of candy in a neat little jar. Looked kind of like a pumpkin. But so far I've only eaten one of the candies, so doing good. Doing good. Of course, I might finish the rest of it today. Who knows? But thank you very much. I really appreciate it. A lot of folks that are on Facebook also had given me birthday wishes. So thanks, everyone. I really appreciate that. It's a very good birthday. It's very nice to have 60 people to say happy birthday, and maybe even a little more than that. So thank you very much to everyone. Now, as we move on in the story here, you know, when it starts out with that, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead. This is immediately after he just got through performing the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And we learn in other gospels that one of the reasons why he began to do this the way he did, immediately rushing the disciples off, is because the people were going to grab him and make him their king. So rather than let the disciples get mobbed, he sent them on off in the boat, and he dealt with the people himself to let them know that, no, this is not the way. But then after he dismissed the crowds, what did he do? He went off to a lone place by himself to spend time with his Father. Wow. You think about that. Now, here he had just shown compassion for all these people and this huge miracle of taking, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and feeding 5,000 people just by them bringing it to him and him blessing it. Made it stretch and fit the need. And even extra was taken up. And like I said last week, anytime we bring it to Christ, he can make it stretch. He can make it fit the need that we have as long as we include him and bring it to him first. Not last, first. And we should always give thanks for what we have, that what he provides. You know, I spent so much of my life wanting something that I couldn't have instead of enjoying what I did have. Can anybody else identify with that besides me? Isn't that a waste of life? Isn't that a shame to seek for other than what's right beside of you? You know, I saw a thing on Facebook early this morning, someone had posted, I can't remember who it was, but someone had posted that there was two pictures, and there was a man and a woman that were laying beside each other in bed, husband and wife, and he had his back turned to his wife, and he was looking at something on his phone. You could see the light glaring. It was just a cartoon, but then it said, "You never know how much you appreciate what you have." And then in the next picture, he's laying there alone, holding her picture up next to his heart. And it said, "Until it's gone." Isn't that so true? We need to learn, as the Bible says, to appreciate what we have, to be content with such as we have. But here, immediately after this, then he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went to pray. And he spent a lot of hours in prayer, apparently, because it was later, much later, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning is the fourth watch of the night. It would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And we know that because he had taken that long, going across the lake, as it's referred to, is only about 4 or 5 miles across. Now, the scripture says many stadia in the original language. That would be the correct interpretation. A stadia is about 600 feet or 600 yards, because that was the size of a stadium that they did all of their Olympics in. And so they had gone most of the way, 3 or 4 miles. But because of the water, now these are experienced fishermen. These are experienced boatmen. So they know how to get a boat across the water. You know, they're not like me. I would get out there and go, "Man, this is hard." And somebody would say, "You're rowing backwards." Oh. But they were working what they should do, headed out across the lake, because Jesus had told them, "You guys go on. You guys go." He didn't say what he had planned. He just told them, "Go." So they're out here struggling. The wind's blowing, waves are coming up in the boat, and they're struggling to try to get across here. I mean, you think about that, and that's pretty incredible in and of itself. This is just a small place, and yet they're having all this time, all this trouble. And doesn't that remind you what the devil does to you? Sometimes, don't you feel like in your spiritual life that you're on some kind of a spiritual treadmill, that you keep moving forward, but you're never going anywhere? You just... And why? What's happening? The devil is pushing resistance against us, holding us back. And you know what we have to do? We have to pray and bust through that. We have to give glory to God and say, "You know what? Devil, I'm done. You're not holding me back no more. Lord Jesus, strengthen me, bless me. Get this devil out of my way and let me move on to do what you want me to do." Amen.
Amen.
That's what we have to do. And so here, Jesus, after he prays, well, he just steps out on the water. Walking across the water. But that's no big deal. I saw Bob Hollis do that one day. Of course, it was out here in the parking lot, and there was only like an eighth of an inch of water. But yeah, I mean, how many people have you seen walking on the water? I think that's a miracle. I mean, I've always heard water makes you weightless, but it's never made me quite that weightless. Buoyant, maybe, because, you know... But not necessarily able to stand on it. He walked on the water like it was solid, like this floor that I'm walking on. And I have to be careful sometimes, because this door here goes to the baptistry. I know you guys know it, but the people out there don't necessarily. And sometimes when we're having a baptism, that's open. And I have to be careful that I don't try to walk on the water, end up in it. But, you know, it's amazing. Here's Jesus just walking across the water. And it would be, like I said, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., so it's nighttime, it's dark, and there's some kind of wind blowing, and who knows, maybe it's overcast sky, so it's a little hard to see. And, you know, people have a tendency, especially people in the water, and especially back then, they were a little more superstitious, maybe, and believed more mystical things than we do. And they see this thing, not in the water, but on top of the water. And it don't look much like a boat. It looks like somebody walking across the water and like, ooh, it's a ghost. Nah, it's just me. How do you think about that? What would you think if you saw somebody walking across the water in the middle of the night? Jesus, hey, how you doing? That's probably not going to be our first thought. It should be, perhaps, but it probably wouldn't be. At least it wouldn't be mine, I don't think. And so these disciples are frightened by what they see, and they're wondering, what's going to happen here? What is this thing going to do? And they cried out, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. You know something that you got to maybe take into account is something Jesus did not say here also. Jesus didn't say, what's wrong with you guys? Ghosts don't exist. He didn't say that. He didn't chastise them and say, there's no such thing as a ghost. He just said, no, it's just me. It's just me. It's just me. And so Peter, being the one who always is the one to speak up first and to get involved first, he's always the one who usually sticks his foot in his mouth first. But he says, well, Lord, since it's you, not if it's you, it should say, since it's you, Lord, then prove it by letting me come out on the water with you. And it's not really proof either. It's a matter of faith. Peter trusts that the Lord could, since the Lord himself can walk on the water. He had already told them at this point that the things I do, you can do, and even greater things. And he had given them the authority to perform miracles already. And so Peter is saying, in the original language, what he was telling them was, what I do, you do. And it's also, when Jesus said, it is I, in the original language, what he actually said was, I am. So this was one of the places where Jesus identified himself as God in the flesh. He said, literally, I am. And Peter's like, I know who that is. That's the name of God. That's my Lord. Lord, since it's you, permit me to also walk on the water and to do the same miracle you're doing. And Jesus says, come on, do it. Whew, water's cold. Wow. Look, guys, I'm walking on the water. Oh, look at that wind. Begins to sink. You think about how much of a miracle that is. Now, this not only was Jesus walking on the water, but Peter, a man just like you and I, stepped out of the boat, walked on the water like it was solid ground, until he took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eye on the conditions around him. Folks, there's a major lesson there for us, okay? We need to learn to keep our focus on Christ no matter what storm is raging around us. COVID is a storm that's raging across the world right now. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Does that mean we won't get COVID? No, not necessarily. Does that mean we won't get it and die from it? No, not necessarily. Does it mean that we'll be okay? Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, some people act like dying is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. But if you're really a Christian And you really know you're going to be with the Lord when we die, because we're all going to die, buddy. Nobody's going to get out of this world alive. Nobody. We're all going to die. You know, that's something that since the fall of man, we just got to get used to it and suck it up, buttercup, because that's the way it is. Everybody dies. Now, I've met a few people who thought they wanted to die, and those people are troubled and need Christ. There was even a time in my life when I wanted to die. And the Lord stopped me. And he said, I love you. No matter if anybody else does or not, I love you. But he said, I'm not the only one. You know, there are things that happen in our life because we take our focus off of Christ. We start looking at the circumstances of the things around us. For example, if you watch the mainstream news today, and that's all you ever watch, and you don't read the scripture, and you don't pray, and you don't spend time with the Lord, it's going to drive you crazy and make you want to kill yourself. Because there's nothing good ever on the news, right? It's all negative. It's all bad. It's this is dying, that's dying, they killing each other, and blah, blah, blah. On and on it goes. And I'm not saying that we should ignore those things by any means. But what I am saying is that no matter what is going on, we give it to Christ and we come to him and we listen to what he tells us. If he says, come on out on the water, we come on out on the water with him. Amen.
Amen.
If he says, stay in the boat, we better stay in the boat. Because if we step out, we're in trouble. I mean, there was a time when the children of Israel were supposed to go to battle. You remember that? Way back in the beginning, when they were first becoming a nation, they were supposed to go to battle, but the spies come back and say, oh, there's giants in the land. They're too big. We can't do this. We can't handle this. And I imagine God sitting there going, what makes you think you have to handle it? What about me? What am I? Chop steak? But they took their eyes off of God and put it on to the circumstance of life. And it consumed them with fear. You can have fear or you can have faith, but you can't really have both at the same time. There is a healthy fear of, you know, like my son recently got this thing called a GoPet. And it's like one of those Razor scooters, only it's wider. And it's got a, like a skateboard thing, and it's got a handlebar on it, and it's got a 49cc engine on the back. The thing will run 40 miles an hour. And he's telling me, get on it, Dad. I said, no, ain't doing it. Well, it's a lot of fun. I said, yeah, as long as you're upright, I'm sure it is. I said, I get dizzy, and my eyesight don't let me see good, so I ain't getting on it. So there's a healthy fear, right, that we need to have to keep us from doing stupid things. And unfortunately, sometimes I haven't had the right amount of fear, so I did a lot of stupid things. Anybody else identify with that? Young and dumb and, you know. But, yeah, you know, sometimes you're old and dumb too, so. But, you know, here is a major, major miracle. Peter, not just the Lord, but Peter is walking on the water. And he's fine until he takes his faith off of Christ. Takes his focus off of Christ. Caused him to doubt. And you know, that's just like what Phil was talking about in his testimony this morning. That's what the devil does all the time. Is he tries to get us to look away from Christ. And to look at all the negative things around us. To look at all the bad things that's going on. Or to put more faith in science. Or math, or whatever. More faith in something else other than the Lord. Well, you know, we saw what happened when that happened to Peter, right? It says he began to sink. Here he is out here in water, who knows how deep. 30, 40, 50, 100 feet, who knows? And he just, all of a sudden, he sang it. Lord, save me. That was his words. Lord, save me. Anybody besides me ever experienced a time when you cried out to the Lord for help? I mean, but the thing is, just like right here, he's always right there. The moment we cry out, he's right there. And he reached out and grabbed him, pulled him up, got him in the boat, and he got in the boat, and immediately the storm stopped. And they were at the other side. Wow. Do we really ever stop when we read these passages of Scripture? Do we really stop and focus and meditate on what's really happening here? I mean, all the miracles that took place is boom, 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 boom. Every place that Christ goes, things happen. Has he come into your life? Really? Has he come into your house? Has things happened? When he got into your heart and when he got into your home, did it change you? Did it change your family? Did it make you see things differently? Did it make you enjoy life a little more? I remember the flowers were more beautiful. The sky was bluer. The clouds were whiter. It was like I was walking on air. And it's sad that over time, if we're not careful, the devil robs us of that joy. And you know what's the worst thing about that is that the scripture says, the joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
So if we lose our joy in the Lord, we lose our strength to fight the battle against the devil. We have to be careful that all of this negative things, all the bad things that Satan and the demons are doing, does not allow us to be robbed of our joy in the Lord. We don't take joy in the bad things that's going on. We better not anyway. Some people unfortunately do. But we need to maintain a worshipfulness in the presence of the Almighty God. You know, I can remember growing up as a young teenager, maybe even younger than that, but I can remember thinking of the church as a holy place. I mean, you just don't go to the church and do bad things. That's a holy place. You just don't do that. And you go into the church, there's a reverence. There's a fear of God. Not just that thinking that God's going to get you, but thinking that God knows. He's writing it down as you do it. He's recording everything. And in his house seemed to be the place where you thought about that the most. You know, you're sitting here thinking, Lord, I know you know what I'm thinking. I'm sorry. I was thinking about going up there and pulling her hair, but I guess I won't. Yeah, you know, there was a fear, a reverential respect of God. And when God's people in the house of God told you as a child to do something, you better do it. They say, shut up, be quiet, take that gum and spit it out and throw it out. You did it. What's happened to that, folks? What's happened to that? People don't seem to have a reverence for God's people. They don't have a reverence for God's house, and they don't have a reverence for God's name anymore. Look what Jesus did. He walked on the water. Does that not demand reverence? He created everything around us. Everything, including you and me. Does that not demand respect and reverence as a creator? I mean, we've lost the ability to even have logic anymore. Logically, you think, the being that created you could also uncreate you. Yeah, as kids, did anybody ever play with Play-Doh besides me? Or Silly Putty? Any of that stuff? Where you just made something, you molded it, and you made it into something. And, you know, if you didn't like it or you got tired of it, you're ready to make something else, what'd you do with it? Just put it back into a ball and start over again. Well, the Bible speaks about that. He's the potter and we're the clay. Doesn't that demand for us to show respect and reverence? You know, there was a time, and perhaps in some places in the Jewish Orthodox religion, it still is, they barely will mention the name of Moses. Moses. Why? Because they revere Moses, because he was the man who was closest to God in the story of the beginning of the nation of Israel. He went to the mountaintop and visited God face to face, it says. He didn't literally look at him face to face or it would have killed him. But he walked very close with God. He received the Ten Commandments from God. He spoke with God. He even had arguments with God. We read about, no, they're your children. No, they're yours. You're the one who put them in my care, Lord. They're yours. No, I put them in your charge. They're yours. It's kind of funny in a way, but that's what happened. We have lost the ability to have that kind of reverence for God. The awe of God. So one of my challenges to us this week is just to ponder on that. The awe of God. Because one day we're going to all experience it, right? And it shouldn't be a new experience for us. It shouldn't be. There will be a lot of new in heaven, but that shouldn't be one of them. When he began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You think about that just again from a pure logic point of view. Here you are standing on the water, walking around, no problem. You know, you're everything seems to be fine, and then all of a sudden, why? Why did you doubt? He doubted when he saw the storm, when he saw the wind, and some versions say when he saw the waves. But you know, when he stepped out on the boat, he wasn't worried about falling in the water. When he first stepped out, he didn't even think about falling in the water. In his mind, he was thinking, I'm going to walk on that water because Jesus said I could. So I'm going to do it. Don't you think that's what he was focusing on when he first got out there? Because he stepped out. Wow, I'm walking on water with Jesus. This is great. Ah! You know, but isn't that what happens to us? We have moments in our life, in our faith, where things seem to be going exceptionally well. And then the devil smacks us with something. And instead of focusing on the Lord, instead of focusing on how great things had been and could continue to be, if we just keep our focus on Christ and tell the devil, you know, go back to hell where you belong and keep moving on. Instead of doing that, with, why do I have to suffer like this, Lord? Why do you let this happen to me? It takes us a long time, if ever, to mature beyond that. The story of Smith Wigglesworth, I've probably shared this before. I'm getting old, so forgive me. I repeat myself a lot. But Smith Wigglesworth, he was a man who was very charismatic in his faith. He raised people from the dead. He spoke in tongues. He did a lot of different things that we don't normally see. Or practice here necessarily. Not that we shouldn't, we just don't. But at any rate, one night he was sleeping at home. And he hears this noise, this banging and clanging down in the lower part of his home in the first floor. And so he wakes up and thinks, what in the world is going on down there? All this noise, bang, clang, boom, bang. And he walks down the stairway, and about halfway down the stairs, he looks over, and there's a demon standing there. And he says, "Oh, it's just you." And he goes back to bed and goes back to sleep. I mean, isn't that the kind of attitude we ought to have? It is. It is. We should not let them bother us. Let them keep us from accomplishing what the Lord has for us to do. Otherwise, he says this, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat and the wind died down, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There's that awe. There's that awe. They saw him walking on water. They saw him help Peter walk on the water. They saw him lift Peter out of the water, standing on the water, while he was failing in his faith. They saw him chastising him for his lack of faith. And they saw the Son of God. Wow. Think about the things that we have witnessed in our life. Isn't there times when we know that Jesus is the Son of God? There's times you've had that procedure and you've got this diagnosis and either it went away somehow, miraculously, and you didn't have to have the procedure, or there was a procedure that you had to have and you were so concerned that maybe you wouldn't make it through that procedure. But not only did you make it through, but you healed faster than you expected. Things went better than you thought they would, or even the doctor thought they would. And in those times, don't we give glory to God? Don't we say, "Truly, Lord, you are the Son of God. You helped me. You've shown me who you are. You've shown me your mercy, your love, and your grace." When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He is the Son of God. There is no question. There should be no question in our minds. If we truly believe what this says, if we truly believe what the Word of God says, there should not be any question in our heart as to who he is. But then there's this other question. Sure, he is the Son of God. But I need this or I need that. Will he do that for me? It's not can he. We know he can. But then we have this question. Will he do that for me? Why? Because we're letting the devil cause us to doubt. We're letting the devil cause us to think about our sinfulness and think we don't deserve his blessing. We don't deserve his help. Oh, I'm unworthy. Of course you are. But it's not based on our worthiness. It's based on our faith. Right?
Amen.
It's based on our faith. If it was based on worthiness, we'd all be in hell. And we would not have a right to complain, would we? Because that's what we all deserve. But thanks be to God, who through Jesus Christ has saved us from that definite future and changed it to one of glory. Amen.
Amen.
So, I want us to focus on the awe of God this week. Try to get our reverence in the presence of the Almighty God. As we pray, as we study his scripture, focus on him. Think about his greatness, his mightiness, who he really is and what he has done for us. And also, if we have had those bouts of doubt, if we're struggling, let's put that in its proper place. Put the struggle into the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
We can't handle that load, but he can and he will. He said, those who are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you what?
Yes.
You think he means that? What?
Yes.
Amen, he does. So if you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn is number 371. It doesn't matter what your bulletin says. Just another one of the operator malfunctions this week. Number 371, reach out to Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Have a need, come.
We will have Bible study today at 5 o'clock, but there will be no classes Tuesday and Thursday. I'm trying to get the garage cleaned out and some things done, move some projects, get them finished, get them out of here, and get things cleaned up a little bit. So I need this break. I apologize for those of you who would come and attend, but give me another week, please, and then we'll pick it back up. I can do that. All right. Anybody feel like they've been blessed by the Lord today?
Amen.
Let's tell him. Lord, we are so grateful for your presence here this morning. You have touched and blessed us, Lord. Wow, the things you can do if we just allow you to work. Lord, help us to learn to lean on you, to truly reach out to you when we are in times of struggle. Help us to learn to give it all to you instead of wallowing in it and struggling to get on with life. We give it to you, and you give us strength and joy. So I ask you to bless everyone here, everyone that's listening. Fill us with that joy, with that peace that passes all understanding. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom and strength and power to move on for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day.